What chants would you recommend as suitable to use for patients who may be on hospice or close to death? Can Buddhist monks give last rites? It depends. A lot of it depends on the people themselves, the patients. So that loving kindness chants are always very helpful. Everybody needs loving kindness, and sometimes recollections of refuges, like the Namo Tassa recollection of the Buddha, Buddhang Saranam Gacchami Dhammangsa, just going over the refuges is really helpful. It's very simple. Most people would recognize it if they're at all familiar with Buddhism. I've done lots of different things with different people. Sometimes, you know, we'll chant the whole paritta chants, which are the kind of auspicious chants, blessing chants, protection chants, and they're fairly extensive. Could be 15, 20, 30 minutes of chanting, and I've done that many times. And, I get feedback from the nurses on the floor. I said, "Wow, that was great!" And other people really benefited as well. A lot of it depends on the occasion. In terms of last rites, I mean, the presence of monastics as somebody is dying is a good reminder of practice. And that's it's very traditional in Buddhist cultures, Thai culture certainly, that where you would go and visit somebody who is dying and encourage them. One is just the presence, is a visual. But then to teach or give some reflection or do some chanting so that it reminds them of their own Buddhist roots and their refuge or the teachings themselves so that it's a... that's a memory and a feeling that is planted during those last days or hours or minutes. It's also within the culture for relatives and friends to be at the side of a person who is dying to help them maintain mindfulness recollect. It's like Buddho, Buddho, keep them. Recollecting the Arahants, and recollect the enlightened beings, there's a kind of a joke in monastic circles, anyway. the old guy who's led a pretty dissolute life, and he's never really gone to the monastery, never done much of anything spiritual, and he's kind of been a drunkard, and of course it's a play on words, so it's going to come out in English so well, but the so that the relatives are trying to recollect the arahants, remember the arahants, remember the arahants. And then the old guy sort of, what monks have tails, you know? Says, pa alaiwa mihang. So it's nuktung brahlahang, nuktung brahlahang, dehoi, pa alaiwa mihang. So it's the old kind of monks. So, you know, it's sort of like if you haven't done the practice, thinking of Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, arahants, peace, clarity, like forget it. It's just, you know, you need to do that in daily life. You wait for your deathbed. That's not going to work. There's also a great occasion when one of Ajahn Chah's is actually one of the first people from the townspeople and a merchant who started coming to Wat Bapong. Him and his wife started supporting the monastery and then other people in the town started to hear about the monastery, so it got more well-supported because it was quite poor, difficult circumstances. And one of Ajahn Chah's standards that he lived by all through his life, and he never, ever asked for anything. Never asked for anything. So that he always made himself content with whatever came. So he... these people supported the monastery, got other people involved, and slowly developed. More people started coming. And, of course, they got older I think at some point, and both of them, the husband and the wife, had done temporary ordinations at the monastery for some time and left and continued raising their family. Of course, they got older. And the husband was very ill. The family came and said, Ajahn Chah, can't remember his name right now. He's really ill. He looks like he's not going to make it. He's on his deathbed. And Ajahn Chah sort of thought for a minute. Okay, I've got an invitation in town. In however, 4 days, 5 days, I'll go there. And they were sort of, I don't know if he's going to make it, but he didn't say anything of that. And so they went back home, and the father's getting, looks like he's getting worse and getting worse, and come back out to see Ajahn Chah. And said, he's getting worse, he's getting worse. I don't know if he's going to make it. He said, no, I'll wait till I've got this invitation at the army base. And then I'll swing by after then. And they're we've supported this monastery for so long, what's wrong with it? And so a bit of grumbling when they go back, and the day comes, and Ajahn Chah goes to the army base. They have there's a blessing ceremony for something or other, and then at the invitation, they do chanting, meal offering, gives a Dhamma reflection. The army base commander says, "Is there anything we could do to help? Anything you need that we can?" He says, "I need a truck." Oh, okay. So I said, okay. Yeah, so we got trucks. It's a big army truck. And so then they went to the layperson's house, and of course the lay people are really, okay, Ajahn Chah's here, and the old guy is, he still looks like he's still kicking. And then Ajahn Chah comes in and talks to him, gives a few reflections, and they do a little bit of chanting, and then he dies. And then they put him on the truck and took him back to Wat Phong for the cremation. Those are last rites.